Hey guys, welcome to the Pensive Podcast. If this is your first time coming across this podcast, you are most definitely welcome. If you are coming back once again, yeah, what it is, what's up? Thank you for coming back. If you don't know what my name is Juliana. I'm a young Christian striving to be more like Christ. I mean, there's more to me than that, but anyway, that's the main thing. I'm a young Christian striving to be more like Christ. Okay, so let's get right into this. Ignore me and rambling. But purpose part two. Let's not waste too much time. I'm just going to pray and then we're going to get straight into it. So, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you because you are in control. And you know how many times I've recorded this. But I thank you that you are ordaining how this is going to go. And I thank you because whoever is listening is not listening by accident or didn't just so happen to stumble across this. But Lord, you made it that they were listening and they will stay tuned in Jesus' name and they will follow in Jesus' name. But I thank you because this episode will bring glory to you ultimately in the name of Jesus, and that you will be pleased with us, and that not only will we hear what you have given to me to say, but we will also act on it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for in the name of Jesus we pray, and the church said amen. Okay, so let's begin purpose part two. Let's get into a bit more depth into what I said in what I covered in part one. So whilst I was looking further into this topic, just kind of letting you guys know, I came across a lot of like really useful resources from one of my favorite ministries that comes out with like Christian resources in general, and it's called Desiring God, whose founder is John Piper. So I would thoroughly encourage you, they ain't paying me to say this, but thoroughly encourage you to go check that out. I think it's a really good ministry. They have a website, they have a YouTube, they have a whole bunch of stuff. So Desiring God, John Piper, look it up. God bless you. Cool. So in John Piper's book, Desiring God, he goes on to explain in reference to Genesis 1 verses 26 to 27, that since God made man like himself, man's dominion over the world and his filling the world is a display and imaging forth of God. God's aim, therefore, was that man would act so that he would mirror forth God, who was ultimate dominion. Man is given the exalted status of image bearer, not so he would become arrogant or autonomous, as he tried to do in the fall, but so he would reflect the glory of his maker, whose image he bears. So this hones in this excerpt from the book, hones in on how mankind's creation is linked to giving God glory. We are created in his image, and the almost, I think it's almost 8 billion people on this earth, or it is 8 billion people, all of them, all of us are bearing the image of God, believe it or not. Our purpose is defined in Genesis 1, 26, 27. I think that was already said literally just a moment ago, or I said it in episode 1. Anyway, yeah, and our purpose in itself is part of the grand scheme, and our specific purpose in itself is part of the grand scheme of God getting the glory, which is the main purpose. I think that makes sense. So our place on this earth, you being born into the family that you are in, and the people that are around you, everything that is around you, and its placement around you, and your placement around them, and everything, and all that stuff, all of that is orchestrated to the one cause of giving God glory. Cool. So also in the podcast by Desiring God called Ask Pastor John, in one of the episodes, episode 153, John Piper explained how we reflect God with this analogy. John Piper goes on to say, "I was created like a mirror, and a mirror that was supposed to be at 45 degrees with the clear reflective side pointing upward so that as God shone on it, it would bounce off and make the 90 degree turn and be reflected out into the world. In the fall, Satan persuaded me that my image is more beautiful than God's image, and so I flip the mirror over. Now the black side of the mirror is towards God. It doesn't reflect anything. Instead, the mirror casts a shadow in the shape of itself on the ground, and we have been preferring ourselves over God ever since. And in salvation, two things happen. The mirror gets turned around and we see the glory of God again, and the defilement gets wiped off gradually, and we begin to reflect God. So I think, John Piper says, I think being created in the image of God means that we image God. We reflect God. We live in a way, we think in a way, we feel in a way, we speak in a way that calls attention to the brightness of the glory of God. straightforward to me. As aptly mentioned by John Piper, the way we live, think, feel, speak should be to display the glory of God as bearers of his image. And in knowing this, we should evaluate how we have lived so far and see if it brings glory to God and if we are correctly facing God as well. So his glory is seen through us, or in that analogy, like bounced off of us and shown into the world. So seen through us, silly me. Anyway, but wait, how am I supposed to be living and speaking and all of that stuff? So I kind of try to break it down into living and then speaking and thinking and feeling. So I've kind of broken up into two-ish kind of sections. So with living, I've kind of said allowing the creator or the plan maker or the omniscient God to lead you. It'll make sense in a moment, hopefully. Cool. So Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, the book that I mentioned in episode one, he did a TED talk some years back about the book, and he gave a good example that I believe helps us key into how we live in this purpose of giving glory to God. Give me a sec, I need some water. So he said, how do we live out our more specific purpose is kind of the question that we're trying to address here. He used Moses as an example. So it says in Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, the Lord said to him, Moses, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, a staff, or staff. I don't really know which is the right way to say it. So just roll with me. Cool. So he identified, Rick Warren identified the fact that this staff means three things in Moses's life. It means his identity, his income, and his influence. His identity being at that time, he was a shepherd. So having a staff was almost a given. When you see a staff in that time, if you saw a staff in someone's hand, you would know that they are a shepherd. So that staff meant that Moses was a shepherd. That's his identity. With income, him being a shepherd is what he lives off of, what he makes money from. So yeah, it's synonymous with that. Like in knowing his identity, this is what he... Yeah, man, you get it. That's his income. Him being a shepherd is the way he lives and the way he makes money and all of that stuff. So it's his identity, it's his income, and it's also his influence. That same staff is what he will use for his sheep. So there's like a curved end on the staff that he would use to drag the sheep towards him or pull them towards him. And then the other end of the staff, which is straight, which he can use to like push them away, or he can use the curved end anyway. But in doing that, using the staff in that sense allows him to have influence over the sheep. So that is what another thing, the third thing that staff represents for Moses: his identity, his income, and his influence. Now we can use these same three factors as a means of identifying what our staff or our specific purpose is, what God has laid in our hands in the grand scheme of giving glory to him, that purpose. So we need to identify what our staff is. A lot of us have a natural calling or an affinity to do certain things, for example, like dance, if yours is dance, or medicine. Some of us want to do engineering, some of us are good at teaching. And if we really went to do what we believe God has set on our hearts for us to do, not what our parents are saying, not saying that your parents are necessarily wrong, but not what, you know, the wrong people, not what God has, you know, you kind of bear witness, like, this is what I'm supposed to do. If we really went out to do what God has set on our hearts for us to do, we will find our purpose there. And even one thing for us to, I think one thing to note is that it took Moses to leave the palace of Pharaoh to finally get to this place of finally walking in his real purpose, because he killed someone and he ran away and then he got married and he was serving in Jethro, his father-in-law's field or land. That's where his real purpose actually began. So don't necessarily think that you'll be automatically in the right place for your purpose to begin. It might take some changing of location and all that stuff to begin your purpose. Anyway, so back to Exodus 4 and Moses and the staff. So this shepherd's staff, which had later, it later becomes a rod, or referred to as a rod. This same rod or staff was what parted the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to be saved from the Egyptians. The former shepherd, Moses, had now become the one God had used to save his people, the Israelites. He only had the necessary qualities to do so because being a shepherd was his training ground. so to speak, like kind of his training ground. He picks up the necessary experiences. And I guess this staff shows like the growth and the transition of Moses fully living out his purpose. All grew went back to God at the end of it in that parting the Red Sea example. We see in Exodus 15, the Israelites sang unto the Lord. I think they said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his riders, as in the Egyptians, he has thrown into the sea. That's what they say in Exodus 15. So yeah, when we fully utilize our purpose with God's direction, we will be accomplishing the main aim of giving God glory. Rick Warren mentioned in the TED talk I was talking about earlier that God will essentially be cheering us on. So God really does take pleasure in us doing what he has called us to do. He delights in us doing what we are created, what we are designed for. However, we also see when Moses uses that same rod or staff in an abusive way. In Numbers chapter 20, the Israelites were mumbling and, you know, complaining as per usual. I think they were kind of trash, to be honest. They would always complain. So they were doing that again, and it was vexing Moses. Like, I actually couldn't deal with the Israelites. If I just think about it, I could never. But anyway, yeah, and Moses was getting angry, and that he was actually known for his anger as well. So as they were begging for water, God specifically told Moses, and I think he told Aaron as well, he told him to speak to the rock that it may spring forth water for them. But Moses, I think he must have told them, like, oh, all you rebels, yeah, you want water? And then he struck the rock with his rod. So speaking to the rock, as God instructed, would have brought all glory to God. It would have been solely attributed to God working a miracle. But Moses striking it with the rod we associate with him meant God could not get the full glory from this. He abused his purpose in that moment. And the sad thing is, we read in verse 12, Numbers 20, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Ooh, it's tight. Abusing our specific purposes, especially driven by our emotions and rationale, will only do more harm than good. It takes total surrendering to God. I said total surrendering, total, as in 100%, all. It takes total surrendering to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us and Christ to live in us for us to overcome our carnal reactions and desires. In accepting this gift of salvation, be reminded that Jesus is our Saviour and Lord. I'm going to say that again. In accepting the gift of salvation, be reminded that Jesus is our Saviour, cool, but he's also our Lord. We seem to overlook that part of the confession, which, yeah, but making him our Lord as well is signing over this quote-unquote freedom of doing what we want so that we do what he wants. And what he wants for us is to follow in his footsteps, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We are no longer accepting carnal ways of living and acting when we accept Jesus into our lives. Amen. Okay, so now what we're going to do is talk about thinking and feeling, which ultimately leads to the speaking, all in line with us doing our purpose and giving glory to God in all of it. I think one kind of mindset we need to keep in mind, is that God has not left us here completely undirected in this whole actually living out our specific purpose to ultimately give glory to God, and just the whole life in its in and of itself. God has not left us here alone. He has sent us the Holy Spirit. I think because of Jesus's work on the cross, it should be easier than it has ever been to stay in line with God's purpose, because again, we have the Holy Spirit. He sent the Comforter to teach us in all things, and all we need to do is surrender. As I've said, we need to have a willing heart, open arms, and just drop everything, hand over the reins of our life and let God lead. And just some scriptures to back up the fact that, you know, God hasn't left us here undirected to live our lives. I have here Galatians 2 verse 20, which says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Also, Acts 17 verse 28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." As also some of our own poets have said, we are also his offspring. I don't know why I couldn't read them. But yeah, just the fact that we don't have to do we don't have to live the life that God has called us to live unaided. He's already set up, it's like, I don't know if the word is fail safes, like even if you feel like this one way is not going to help you live, he's already set up in a way that you can't live the best life he has set for you without him, in a good way. Like, he wants to help you live for him. He wants to help you get to a point of him being pleased with you. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense, because he's pleased with us when we do what he's called us to do, and he helps us. So yeah, I think that makes sense. But yeah, practically speaking, like, I don't know if it's just me, sometimes I think like, okay, cool, God's there to help me. Okay, so when it comes to every decision, I'm now gonna pray, okay Lord, what should I eat? Should I eat Cocoa Pops, or should I eat Crunchy Nut, or Lord, should I, like, I think as flattering as it may be, or I don't know why I give the example of eating cereal, don't ask me, I'm apparently very hungry, but God is as honored as he may be, and us always asking him like, what step should I take, and all of that stuff, and praying just about everything, even though it does say pray without ceasing, I think it's important for us to understand that we have to grow up in him. Spiritual maturity is a thing that is very profound in the New Testament. I remember, I think it's in Timothy or Hebrews or somewhere, they were talking about, it was mentioned, I think Paul was talking about, like, you're still on, those that should be teachers are still on spiritual milk instead of like meat or something like that. Spiritual maturity and growth in general, that's something that is important as well in terms of the thinking and feeling and speaking, when it comes to purpose. I think even just giving an example of how we are as human beings, I think God evidences this progression that he desires of us in the fact that we don't stay babies forever. We don't stay on our mother's, you know, milk forever. We actually have to grow, and our calorie intake and the amount of food that we need and the nutrients and everything, it will not sustain us as we grow. Babies grow without their own choice, and then, does that make sense? Like, babies grow, they grow. They go from one day old to 1 week old to 1 month old to 1 year to 18 to 21 to 30 to 50. There is growth in the physical sense. It is the same thing in a spiritual sense, because we are created in God's image as well. So seeing that physical human beings, we grow, that means also God expects growth. Hey, I didn't even make that connect before. Glory to God. But yeah, in line with that growth kind of in the mind, I would like us to turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Where's my tab? I'm reading it in the Amplified version, and it says, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you." So there's a few things that I want to focus on in that verse, and the first thing is where it says be transformed and progressively changed. And one thing that I want us to know, now that we're trying to identify, like, I want to live out the purpose that God has set out for me, I need to change my mindset. Just because you're going to read one Bible verse today doesn't mean that your mind is going to be transformed forever. Like, no real substantial significant change happens just like that. We always say, well, I say we, but it's like a general saying, Rome wasn't built in a day. And the same goes with spiritual maturity and being transformed by the renewing of our minds. It is a constant process. Yeah, constant process, but there is, within that, there is progress. Does that make sense? Yes, it does. Yeah. So, like, even education, like, we are constantly learning. So let's say from reception to me being a degree level, like, I'm constantly learning. It's a constant process of me wanting to learn. However, I've moved from key stage 1 to key stage 2 to key stage 3. So there is progress in itself. So that, I think that's a good example. Well, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Okay, cool. So then also in this Romans 12 2, it says, "So that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is." This part, okay, let me read it properly. "So that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you." Sometimes when this verse is referred to, this part is often overlooked, but actually that's the reason why we need to have our mind renewed all the time, which is ironic. Yeah, so with every step, you will find that you shouldn't have to always rush to prayer. I think that's the example I gave earlier, but you shouldn't have to rush to prayer in worry and in lack of faith, because we should get to a place of knowing that what we're doing should please God. Not to say that you should forsake prayer necessarily, but in this growth you will know what is right and what is wrong. Again, using the example of a child, I mean, they always want to know, oh, why shouldn't I touch the fire? But you yourself, at the age of 20, 21, 22, or whatever age you are, you know that obviously I'm not going to touch it because I'm going to burn myself and I'm going to have to get rushed to A&E. Like, there's certain things you shouldn't have to ask, because you being renewed by the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and just you filling yourself with the word constantly allows you to make these distinctions and decisions that you know will please God, because you've already read his word and got his seal of approval there. The Holy Spirit is giving you inner peace, and if you have completely surrendered, Jesus Christ will be working through you anyway, so that by the grace of God, you have overcome the desires of the flesh, and that would have taken a backseat, and Christ, you'll be living out as the spiritual being that God has made you to be. I think that makes sense. Yeah. If you are really allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you by presenting yourself to God, as it says in Romans 12 verse 1, if you allow the word to progressively change you by not just reading it but meditating on it and allowing the rhema word to be revealed to you, and not just hearing and reading it but doing what the word requests, you will find that in the state of growing spiritually, you will prove for yourself, and that's the main thing of that verse, you will prove for yourself what is good and perfect and in his purpose and plan for you. As I was trying to say anyway, a baby doesn't stay a baby forever. Almost against its own will, it grows and will be cared for and provided for by the parents, but this baby will grow and, you know, beyond you think that the same amount of milk is just going to be enough to sustain this child. Yeah, it's not going to be enough. You're going to have to continually feed yourself. I think one thing that one of the pastors I've heard say before is like, you don't eat all the food you need in a week in one day, you eat it as you need the dietary requirements. I think, like, you know, you need 2,000 calories a day, so you eat Monday's 2,000, you eat Tuesday's 2,000 on Tuesday, you eat Wednesday's 2,000 on Wednesday. You don't eat all of it in one day. There's no way you need to constantly, again, this constant process, constantly fuel yourself. And yeah, if you're trying to get some spiritual muscles, you're going to need to bulk. I like this analogy, I don't know why. You need to bulk, you get what I'm saying? You need to be spiritually fit and physically fit. Even as I think it says in scripture, I think Paul says, I hope that you are prospering, like, physically, even as you're prospering spiritually, something like that. Hopefully I find it and I can attach it to the bottom of this thing. But yeah, grow so that you shouldn't have to always rush and lose your dependence that God kind of gives you within himself. And I say kind of, because he's not necessarily gone. I think that's one thing that I don't want us to forget. He hasn't necessarily gone. Again, we don't have to do this by ourselves. He is always there for us to turn to when we are confused, when we are worried. Again, we need to develop some independence. I don't want to contradict myself. We need to develop some independence because that's what the scripture says. We must prove for ourselves. But that doesn't mean that in every situation, oh, God expects me to be grown and make this decision by myself. He's still there. Again, he's working through you, so really and truly you're not doing it by yourself anyway. So prayer and just allowing yourself, when you do feel like worry is about to overwhelm you, or you're just not completely clear on anything when it comes to trying to live out your purpose, whether it be what degree should I choose, even if you feel like, yeah, it's straightforward, still pray. And still, I think what I wrote here is, like, you know, the parents and the carers of the child will always be there for them when they need that advice. And I think that goes for our relationship with God. He's always there. I don't know how to stress it. Even though he wants us to have independence, he wants us to have independence in him, so that we always ask him. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense. But yeah, God is there for us. So in all of this, I remember someone asking a question like, what if I feel like I have so many things that I am good at? How do I, like, identify which one I'm supposed to, what is my purpose in amongst all of them? Keep asking him, keep seeking God. He will surely answer, because I can't tell you for certain, because not every case is the same. As I said, there's almost 8 billion people on this earth, and you think it's going to be the same way for everyone? Nope. So definitely ask God, continue to pray, and as you continue to fill yourself with the word and the Holy Spirit gives you discernment, it should be easier for you to establish that this is the purpose that God has called me to fulfill. Yeah, I hope this episode made sense. I'm gonna have to listen back to it, but I thank God that I kind of finally made it to the end, and I just hope it blessed you. It's been a blessing for me to study, and I just pray when I do listen back to this that I'm blessed also. I just pray that as I hope this sparked a desire for everyone to really go and ask God, if you haven't already, what is your purpose, if you feel like that's unclear to you, and just kind of make sure that, yeah man, live out your purpose, give glory to God, let him be happy with you, let him cheer you on as you set out and you accomplish what he has put you on this earth to do. That is the main thing, in the name of Jesus. Yay, I mean, it's the end. Okay guys, stay tuned for the next episode. It's getting good, man's really warm because the Holy Spirit is moving. But yeah, stay tuned. I'm so excited for what is coming next. Share this with your friends on your WhatsApp, on your Twitter, on your Facebook, on your Instagram, on your Snapchat. Share this episode. Let someone else be blessed besides yourself. Hashtag the Pensive Podcast on the Twitter. You can DM me any questions or anything you want to say. You can also put stuff on the hashtag the Pensive Podcast hashtag, but you can DM me any questions you may have about this episode. My Twitter is at @Juliana_ENIS, @Juliana_ENIS. Guys, I need to go because I feel like I'm just full of waffle at this point in time, but I hope you guys stay blessed, stay tuned. Bye.